Well, happy Tuesday. Welcome into this edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Okay, it's more like 51 minutes when you take all the breaks out of it, but welcome aboard anyway. Hope you had a good Monday, that all is well with you and yours, and that you are holding the line. I don't know if you noticed yesterday. A lot of people did. Pennsylvania is no longer in the Biden column. And that takes him down to well under 270. And he no longer has a claim on anything. Even though he didn't before, he really doesn't now. Oh, wow. So much to be talking about today. I've got a big list of stuff. And I allowed myself to get sidetracked in the run-up to the program this morning because I was trying to square away something that I had started. Actually, when I was sitting down earlier this morning, much earlier this morning, with my iPad and my coffee, and I was setting up a MeWe account, M-E-W-E. Just go look at it, MeWe.com. It's presenting itself as a Facebook alternative, and in order to really explore and see what's going on, you do pretty much have to set up an account. So I did that this morning. I set up a page for the Daily Perspective. I'm setting up a group for the Daily Perspective, and the process, it's a little different. So it's kind of a stumbling around in the dark sort of thing. So you're finding out how to get things done. So what have I done in the last few days? Let's see. I've got Parler. I've been on Parler for a while, personal account and show account, and also now on MeWe. And it's going to be interesting to see whether or not it's going to be feasible. And the reason I say that is because I've told you before that I've just thought about walking away from Facebook. Particularly doing the Facebook Live version of the program. And there are a handful of reasons for that. One of them being that I keep getting shut down for oddball reasons. And so I want to be able to do what I need to do without having to go in and make adjustments for Facebook. So I'm thinking about moving away from Facebook Live. Actually, I'm thinking about coming off Facebook altogether. The problem with that is that, as I said yesterday, that's where the action is. That's where Facebook and Twitter are still the big dogs. Even though they have lost millions of subscribers over the last week, that's still where the information stuff is pumping out. Now, Parler, I will give Parler this. They have managed, thanks to Dan Bongino, they have managed to attract quite a few people. And there are a lot of folks over on Parler, a lot of conservative commentators and news people over on Parler. So you can actually get information there. MeWe, not so much. MeWe is still, MeWe looks, reminds me an awful lot of what Facebook was like at the beginning, where it was just people sharing, you know, their kid pictures and dog pictures and inspirational quotes and things like that. That's what MeWe looks like. So if you miss those days and you miss it being politic free, you miss it being, you know, challenge free and that sort of thing, you might want to run over to MeWe and have a look. I'm still exploring it. But the logistics behind actually using them could be kind of weird because there are apps set up that allow somebody like me to make a post and it goes everywhere at once. But not for MeWe or Parler. You can't send things to them because they don't have the algorithms. They don't have the code set up. They don't have the base built in order to do that. So, and we'll see how it pans out. That's all I can say. We'll see how it works. What I would like to be able to do, I would like to be able to scan the social media channels and find things that I think are interesting to pass along and to comment on, and then do that over at the website at dailyperspectivepodcast.com and have website posts echo to all of these places. And that also is a big challenge because the base the website is built on is called WordPress. If you're a web nerd, you know what WordPress is. The WordPress platform has plugins, little code pieces that you can insert that you can add to it, which allow you to do certain things. And there are Facebook and Twitter plugins. There are ways to use your WordPress website to post to those two places from the website, but it doesn't go much beyond that. Yeah, there's some other things like LinkedIn and some other things. You can do plugins for those things as well, but not the new stuff. It's just not there yet. So it puts me in a situation where I'm going to be copying and pasting and copying and pasting and copying and pasting and publishing on four different platforms at one time. And just between you and me, I'd rather be out flying my drone. So, yes, I love my country. Yes, I care. But come on, that just gets tedious after a while. Speaking of flying the drone, I did actually fly yesterday. I took it with me. I went to pick up my pistol permit, which is another story. If you have ever thought that your driver's license photo couldn't look any worse, come to Alabama and get a pistol permit. They don't take your photo when you're getting your pistol permit. They use your driver's license photo. They just pull it out of the state records. And they squish it and smash it and stretch it. And it just, oy. I showed it to my wife last night and she laughed in my face. I said, well, thanks. Actually, I quoted Han Solo. Laugh it up, fuzzball. You're next because she's going to get hers and they'll do the same thing to hers. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I got the 5-year version. So I've got a permit for 5 years now and I feel better about that because I've been wanting to carry and to keep in the car. It's just been, I let it slide for a year. But that was pretty much the extent of yesterday. I went to do that. I grabbed a bite to eat. I got a taco, and then I went looking for somewhere I could fly over pretty trees with all the colors, and ended up flying from the deck at the house because it was just so windy, and the clouds were moving, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to go park someplace and risk having somebody come up and say, hey, buddy, what are you doing? And especially since I fly with goggles and part of the time, so I can actually see what I'm shooting, and I just decided to do it from the deck. So I got in the air on the deck, and it was pretty, but it's not sunny enough for it to be really colorful. We'll look at the forecast today and see what it entails. I mean, I'm seeing blue skies outside, so maybe we'll have some sunshine today, and we can make that happen. Who knows? All righty, let's move on to the matters at hand. I'm looking through my list of things to touch on today, and this is another one of those days where I have more than I'll be able to get to, but I'll get to as much as I can. The top two topics that I'm seeing right now are, of course, COVID because of Pfizer and the vaccine, and the election. Those are the two big topics, and hopefully we'll get to both of those topics today. I'm going to try hard to. Let's start off with something from Dan Bongino, who says from his website, he's got an article there called Three Election Oddities No One Can Deny. And please remember that everything I talk about is in the show notes. If I don't give you a reference about where things are coming from, just get the show notes and all of the links to what I tell you. It's all there. Just go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. And if it's after about 9 o'clock Central Time in the morning, the show notes should be there because I post them immediately after I finish recording. It's the first thing I do before I edit the podcast. I actually go back and trim up the show notes because some stuff I don't get to and I eliminate the things I don't get to. And then I post that. And so usually within 5 to 10 minutes after the top of the hour at 9, the show notes are there. This one is coming from Dan from Bongino.com. You don't need to be a conspiracy theorist to have more than a few questions about the election. Even forgetting every story you've read about illegals voting, ballot harvesting, or election glitches, seemingly only benefiting Biden, there are some oddities that occurred on election night that no one can deny. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this to you is because I have never heard this before, what he's about to share here. And I think it's very interesting. It's about bellwether states. States which you can look at and know, well, so-and-so, this party is going to get this state, or this party is going to get that state. Listen up. Ohio has historically been a barometer for national opinion and has had enormous success in forecasting election results. Quote, as Ohio goes, so goes the nation. That's the adage. Excluding last week's election, the winner of Ohio has gone on to win the presidential election in every single election since 1904, with two exceptions. Republican Thomas Dewey won Ohio and then lost to Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1944. You've seen the photos of the newspaper. You remember, Dewey wins. And it was an error. And the second one is Republican Richard Nixon won Ohio in 1960 and then lost to John F. Kennedy. As an aside, there's a lot of opinion that says there was a lot of vote fraud that got John Kennedy elected. Back to the article. Florida is the largest bellwether state. Only twice has a Democrat won the presidency without winning Florida, while no Republican since Calvin Coolidge has won the presidency without it. Meanwhile, Trump picked up support in hard left states like New York, doing 6 percentage points better in 2020 with 42.9% of the vote compared to 36% against Hillary. So Trump won bellwether states and picked up support in the Empire State, yet struggled in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and reliably red Georgia? How was it that Trump won those two bellwether states that were called on election night, yet the others, who were not called on election night, ended up eventually going to Biden? Just like there are bellwether states, there are bellwether counties as well. Vigo County, Indiana, has been won by every presidential winner since 1956. And the same is true for New Mexico's Valencia County since 1952. Trump won both of them this year. Vigo by nearly 15 points, Valencia by 11 points. And they're not the only ones. Nearly every bellwether county was wrong this year, with only 18% of them going for Biden and Harris. So what changed this election cycle? The GOP averted a media-predicted blue wave and picked up seats in the House to chip away at the Democrat majority, while being favored to keep control of the Senate. That's contingent on the outcome of two runoff races in Georgia right now. In other words, we are to believe that Republicans did well everywhere except the presidency. The obvious response to anyone suspecting fraud is, if Democrats rigged the election for Biden, why wouldn't they have rigged it for congressional Democrats, too? One answer would be that if fraud did occur, it was in a few key swing states that by and large weren't the same states where congressional Republicans excelled. Though on the topic of Biden excelling with congressional Republicans outperformed, we also don't have an answer to why there are allegedly 450,000 ballots in key states that were cast only for Biden with no down ballot selections made. Sidney Powell, perhaps best known for being Michael Flynn's attorney, says these kinds of irregularities weren't present in Florida, which was called for Trump early. If the media got away with pushing the narrative that the 2016 election was influenced by the Russians, conservatives should be at least be able to ask about these obvious oddities this election cycle without being branded conspiracy theorists. Now, it's not like the media won't do that anyway. So, bellwether states and bellwether counties indicate this was a Trump victory. But somehow it wasn't. It's one of those things that makes you go, It's the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing to the podcast. I appreciate it. And for those who are the hearty members of the Facebook crowd, thanks for being there. But I'm still leaning towards dropping the Facebook feed. I really am. We'll see how that pans out. I'm looking at some various options. In the previous segment, I talked about some of the things I'm looking at. I'm also looking at Rumble for a video outlet. Although it's not a video podcast. We'll see. I'm thinking about moving all of my droning video over. And I don't mean my talking. I mean flying the drone. That was nasty. You shouldn't have thought that. It's a Tuesday edition of the podcast, and it's good to have you along. As I said, I'm scanning through social media during the break, as I always do, and it's just interesting to see. Of course, as we do, social media reflects us, because we have our friends on social media, and we have our preferences selected as far as what we see. So we tend to see what we want. And that's one of the reasons that social media doesn't give you a clear picture of things sometimes. And it's why I encourage you to search, to look, to dig. You need to see more than just one side of things in order to see how bizarre things really are. So that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that. That's all I'm saying, you know? Well, let's see. Excuse me. Moving over to thedailywire.com. Hank Barron has an article there about how the Wisconsin Election Commission might have violated state law by allowing clerks to fix ballots. Now, this is something we have been seeing popping up over the last few days about people adjusting ballots to or fixing ballots that are missing things, right? And there's things that you just can't do that. You just can't. It's against the law. You can't do that. But it's been happening. A new report points out that an executive branch agency called the Wisconsin Election Commission allowed local county election clerks to fix ballots by filling in missing addresses for witnesses that might have violated a Wisconsin law requiring ballots to have a witness address to be validated. Wisconsin Statute 6.876D states unequivocally, if a certificate is missing the address of a witness, the ballot may not be counted. So let me just explain that if you're having a little trouble gripping it. If the ballot arrives and the address is not there on the ballot, it's not valid. The reason for this is that it is a method of identification. It is confirmation that the person filling out the ballot really is the person filling out the ballot, and someone can go to that address and talk to that person. It's a form of identification. If it's missing, it's not valid. But in August, the Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a directive stating that a clerk could fill in the address of the voter. Here's what it says. To make sure your ballot is counted, double-check the following before you return it. Your voter information, this section is usually completed by your clerk and includes the date of the election, the county and the municipality in which you are registered, your name, the address where you are registered, city and zip code. Voter signature, you or your assistant must sign in the certification of voter section. Witness signature and address, your witness must sign and provide their full address, street number, street name, city, in the certification of witness section. Make sure your ballot is in your envelope and make sure the envelope is sealed properly. If any of the required information above is missing, your ballot will not be counted. This is what it says. Now, in October, the Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a directive to the state's county clerks that seemed to allow them to fix incomplete or spoiled ballots, missing witness signatures. They wrote, please note that the clerk should attempt to resolve any missing witness address information prior to election day if possible, and this can be done through reliable information, personal knowledge, voter registration information, through a phone call with the voter or witness. The witness does not need to appear to add a missing address. Derek Muller, a professor of law at the Iowa School of Law, told Just the News quote, this is a complication thing about elections like this. I've seen it in a lot of jurisdictions, what might be sort of a technical violation of the statute, in this case, encouragement to county clerks about how to use their judgment on whether or not to cure a ballot. Curing is a term they use for fixing the problems. Retired Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman told WISN, quote, the statute is very, very clear. If an absentee ballot does not have a witness address on it, it is not valid. That ballot is not valid. In defiance of and direct contradiction of the statute, the Wisconsin Elections Commission gave guidance, that is cover, to all 72 county clerks and turned the statute on its head. They said, gee, we don't know, the law says an absentee ballot without the witness address is not valid, but county clerk, you have a duty to go ahead and look it up on your own, the witness's address, if there's no address on the absentee ballot. So the statute is very clear. It's very clear. That information has to be there. It has to be there or it's not valid. And yet they were given the cover. They were given the permission to correct it themselves by looking it up or possibly making a phone call or paying a visit. Now, a phone call or a visit, that's not too bad. A visit could give you concrete information and concrete approval, but that's not what they were doing. Not what they were doing at all. Now, in the mainstream progressive press, they are still using that term, widespread vote fraud. There's no proof, no evidence of widespread vote fraud. And they're standing by it, regardless of the evidence to the contrary, regardless to the testimony, the witness testimonies, regardless of the signed affidavits, multiple affidavits to that effect, they're still standing by the lie. It's that old thing. If you tell the lie long enough, people believe it's true. And Democrats and their operatives in the progressive press have been telling this lie for quite some time. In Michigan. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me back up here. Oh, this is coming from DailyWire.com. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem denied challenges from ABC News host George Stephanopoulos that no evidence of voter fraud has been found that could have impacted the results of the 2020 election. She appeared on the program this week on Sunday to discuss the 2020 election, among other topics. And Stephanopoulos pushed Noem to defend President Trump's ongoing refusal to concede the election, while legal challenges to the vote canvassing process in battleground states play out in the courts. And here
for joining us this morning. COVID is rising in your state as well. Cases are up, hospitalizations are up, deaths are up. Are you prepared to work with President-elect Biden to get it under control?
Well, it is a regional increase that we're seeing. We are testing more. And frankly, George, I'm not going to take advice from Governor Cuomo. He has the second worst death rate per 100,000 people in this nation. He's at 173 deaths per 100,000 per capita. South Dakota's at 54. I appreciated that President Trump gave us the flexibility to do the right thing in our state, and we'll continue to do that. He let me do my job. But the other thing that I think is going on here, George, is that this is all premature. This is a premature conversation because we have not finished counting votes. There are states that have not been called. And back in 2000, Al Gore was given his day in court. We should give President Trump his day in court. Let the process unfold. Because, George, we live in a republic. We are a government that gets its power from the consent of the governed. That is the people. They give their consent on Election Day. Election Day needs to be fair, honest, and transparent. And we need to be sure that we had an honest election before we decide who gets to be in the White House the next
Governor
4 years.
Noem, do you have any evidence that it wasn't an honest election? You had put out a tweet earlier this week saying it was rigged. Do you have any evidence at all of widespread fraud? I've spoken with Republican secretaries of state in Georgia, in Arizona. I've spoken to Republican officials across the country. They have come up with zero evidence of widespread fraud.
Not true. And that is not true. That is absolutely not true. People have signed legal documents, affidavits, stating that they saw illegal activities. And that is why we need to have this conversation in court. The New York Times itself said that there were clerical errors.
If you look at what happened in Michigan, fraud, Governor, that's
that we had
different.
Computer glitches that changed Republican votes to Democrat votes. You look in Pennsylvania, dead people voted in Pennsylvania. So, George, I don't know how widespread it is. I don't know if it'll change the outcome of the election. But why is everybody so scared just to have a fair election and find out? We gave Al Gore 37 days to run the process before we decided who was going to be president. Why would we not afford the 70.6 million Americans that voted for President Trump the
Governor.
Same consideration?
Well said, Kristi Noem. Makes you want to move to South Dakota, doesn't it? More after the break, as the Daily Perspective continues. The Daily Perspective podcast for Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. Face it, we're not going to stop talking about the election until it's all settled. And I think what's sad is that a lot of Republican people have kind of given it up. We're so conditioned to just say, to just accept whatever the press says. But if you take a few steps back away from all of the stuff, all of the distractions, take a few steps back and have a look at it, you'll realize that the press is calling an election for someone who has not won, and the person who has not won has been making demands. Actually, the Biden team has been pummeling the GSA, the General Services Administration, trying to get funding for a transition, which can't happen without a final approval on the vote. And where did I put that this morning? I actually clipped something this morning. Oh, it's in my iPad photos. I think it was the Boston Globe referred to the situation as Trump refusing to concede. He refuses to concede. Well, of course he refuses to concede, you blithering idiots. He refuses to concede because there has not been a victory. He can't concede an election which has not been won, can he? But the press, the Boston Globe, and others, like ABC News, you just heard George Stephanopoulos reciting that line. Remember something for me, okay? George Stephanopoulos is a politician. He's a politician. He worked in the Clinton administration. He's a politician. A politician who now works for ABC News. When somebody has the poli-sci bug, they don't ever recover from it. He will always be a political wonk. Always. He worked as an advisor in the Clinton administration. He eats, breathes, sleeps, and lives for politics. Leftist politics. And he sees everything from that perspective. And so, he keeps using that term, widespread voter fraud. When I was listening to that recording, I kept thinking, wow, how widespread does it have to be? Huh? I mean, you've got everything from Wisconsin, Michigan, all the way to the far coast. You've got just off the Great Lakes to just this side of California, to Nevada, Arizona. You've got literally across the country, you've got smatterings of problems in state after state. It's widespread. It's not in every state, but it definitely is in several. There are issues. And even in states that were declared for Joe Biden that don't have questions, I bet there are questions. Remember what we talked about a while ago? Bellwether cities, bellwether states and bellwether counties? Just look. There are going to be issues. And to deny it is to deny reality and to deceive yourself. That's all I can say. Well, over at redstate.com, Nicarama writes, the Trump legal team is all over the question of voter fraud and inappropriate behavior in regard to the votes in the battleground states. Sidney Powell, one of the team of, and the attorney for General Michael Flynn, laid out the case on Fox News with Marita Bartiromo. Powell said there needed to be an audit of all the computer systems that played a role in the counts, noting that there shouldn't have been any glitches. The Michigan Secretary of State claimed the glitch there in Antrim County, where thousands of votes were transposed from President Donald Trump to Joe Biden, was not due to a malfunction of the software, but the clerk accidentally didn't update the software used to collect voting machine data and report unofficial results. Are they trying to tell us that the previous version, this version of the software, did this kind of thing, gave somebody else your votes, and that's not considered a glitch? Oh, that's the fault of the person who was supposed to update it. Oh, so the non-updated version gave people votes they didn't actually receive, but that's not a glitch. Now, do you understand why this is all weird? Why the lunacy is there? Why people don't understand? Why people don't trust? Because that's that kind of doublespeak. That's not real. That's not realistic. It's not what's really going on. It's not the real world. It's just smoke. It's absolutely smoke. Now, what that Michigan Secretary of State didn't explain is how that failure could cause a transposition of the data. On top of that, there was a glitch in two counties in Georgia. Those two counties employ the same system that involved uploading an update that caused the system to crash and hold up voting. Sidney Powell out and out called what had occurred in the state's fraud. She made some explosive charges, if those charges are true. And here's the audio from Fox News.
Team in contesting this election. Sidney, we talked about the Dominion software. I know that there were voting irregularities. Tell me about that.
That's to put it mildly. The computer glitches could not and should not have happened at all. That is where the fraud took place, where they were flipping votes in the computer system or adding votes that did not exist. We need an audit of all of the computer systems that played any role in this fraud whatsoever. And, you know, Joe Biden had it right. He said that he had the biggest voter fraud organization ever, and he didn't need people's votes now. He would need people later. They had this all planned, Maria. They had the algorithms. They had the paper ballots waiting to be inserted if and when needed. And notably, President Trump's vote in the blue states went up enormously. That's when they had to stop the vote count and go in and replace votes for Biden and take away Trump votes.
I've never seen voting machines stop in the middle of an election, stop down and assess the situation. I also see reports that Nancy Pelosi's longtime chief of staff is a key executive at that company. Richard Blum, Senator Feinstein's husband, significant shareholder of the company. What can you tell us about the interest on the other side of this Dominion software?
Well, obviously, they have invested in it for their own reasons and are using it to commit this fraud to steal votes. I think they've even stolen them from other Democrats in their own party who should be outraged about this also. Bernie Sanders might very well have been the Democratic candidate, but they've stolen against whoever they wanted to steal it from.
Wow.
Sidney, these are incredible charges that you are making this morning. We, of course, will be following this, and we thank you for joining me today.
All right, and that was that's the end of the clip as the bumper music, her bumper music rolls up. She's made some astounding assertions here. She said they had this all planned, Maria. They had the algorithms, they had the paper ballots waiting to be inserted if and when needed, and notably President Trump's vote in the blue states went up enormously. That's when they had to stop the vote count. Had to go in and replace votes for Biden and take away Trump votes. We're going to find out, if we're allowed to, we're going to find out some very horrible things happened during this election. And I've been saying for quite some time that the Democrats are hungry for power and control, and they cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted. And this election is an example of why they can't be trusted. I keep thinking back on that bellwether states thing and the bellwether counties, where these counties that fell heavily for the president and historically, almost consistently, almost always, except for just a very few times, have been indicators of how the rest of the vote's going to go. And yet, that's not what happened this time. Plus, you have 450,000 ballots so far, probably more by now, that we have seen that have no down ballot votes on them. There is no concern about making sure that the Senate is in control. And that was a major issue, by the way. It was a huge issue. And the Democrats were campaigning wall to wall to make sure that Democrats were elected to positions in the Senate so they could take the Senate over and have control of both houses. That was a huge push by the Democrats, not just the presidency. So not having down ballot votes on nearly 500,000 ballots is extremely suspicious. But if you're in a hurry to vote a president in and vote a president out, and you're fraudulently pushing as hard as you can, as fast as you can, you're not going to be marking all of the sub-ballot. You're just going to be marking the presidential. And that, I think, is what's happened. They were busy in the backs of vans, in sitting around tables in supporters' homes, doing all kinds of things, just marking president, 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 president. We got to have it. It's happening. We got to have it. It's happening. We got to have these votes. President, 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 president. Not thinking that they probably should have voted straight Democrat. Just the president. Because they were told, we've got to have Biden votes. We need Biden votes. And so what happens? They're marking the Biden slots, the little ovals, filling those little ovals in for Biden. You can easily see that happening. It makes perfect sense to me. From EpochTimes.com, tens of thousands of unsealed, unsecured ballots all cast for Democrats arrived in vehicles with out-of-state license plates in Michigan's Wayne County at 4:30 a.m. on the morning after Election Day. This is according to a lawsuit filed yesterday. Sworn witness affidavit signed by Andrew Sitto, a poll challenger, states, at approximately 4:30 a.m., tens of thousands of ballots were brought in and placed on eight long tables. Unlike the other ballots, these boxes were brought in from the rear of the room. The same procedure was performed on the ballots that arrived at approximately 4:30 a.m., but I specifically noticed that every ballot I observed was cast for Joe Biden. I heard other challengers say that several vehicles with out-of-state license plates pulled up to the TCF Center a little before 4:30 a.m. and unloaded boxes of ballots. This is one of six statements cited in a lawsuit filed in Michigan yesterday by the Great Lakes Justice Center. And we'll look into more of it after the break when the Daily Perspective continues. It's the final segment for Tuesday, the 10th of November, 2020, of this Daily Perspective podcast. Back to what we were talking about before from over at EpochTimes.com. This, I'm looking for this guy's name again, Andrew Sitto. He is the witness who signed off on this affidavit. His witness statement is one of six cited in a lawsuit filed in Michigan on Monday by the Great Lakes Justice Center. The lawsuit alleges that poll workers were instructed to ignore signature mismatches, backdate ballots that arrived late, and push through ballots despite questions about their validity. He says the election official subsequently blocked the windows of the room he was in with cardboard and refused to let him re-enter after he left for a break. According to another sworn affidavit, the names on the ballots that arrived in the boxes did not appear on either the qualified voter file or the supplemental lists for voters who registered shortly before Election Day. Robert Cushman, a poll challenged in Detroit, said in a sworn affidavit, "I saw the computer operators at several counting boards manually adding the names and addresses of these thousands of ballots to the QVF system. When I asked what the possible justification was to counting ballots from unknown, unverified persons, I was told by election supervisors that Wayne County Clerk's office had checked them out." Cushman challenged the process of counting those votes, noted that the poll workers entered the birthdays for each of the purported voters as 1-1-1900. "When I asked about this impossibility of each ballot having the same birthday occurring in 1900, I was told that was the instruction that came down from the Wayne County Clerk's office. I was surprised and disappointed at the preponderance of dishonesty, irregularities, and fraudulent tactics at the November 3rd, 2020 election at the TCF Center." Another poll watcher, Daniel Gustafson, says the ballots arrived in mailboxes with open tops and no seals at the TCF Center in Detroit. He says the ballot bins were not marked or identified in any way to indicate their source of origin. Holy moly. Moving over to, what is this? The Washington Examiner. A second sworn affidavit from a whistleblower in Las Vegas, who was an election worker in Clark County, Nevada, claims mail-in ballots were improperly filled out in a Biden-Harris van outside the polling place. A redacted copy of the affidavit signed on November 8th and obtained by the Washington Examiner puts weight behind some of the claims first detailed by American Conservative Union President Matt Schlapp, who is helping lead the charge for the president's legal efforts in Nevada. In a Sunday press conference, Schlapp said that an election worker saw a van marked Biden-Harris with open ballots inside. The whistleblower, who worked as a poll worker from October 17th to 30th, complained about a Biden-Harris bus or van that was often stationed outside the polling place that would often have speakers, dancers, music, and other festivities going on, and whose organizers had to be told several times a day to stay 100 feet from the polling location. He also said that voters, without proper identification were permitted to cast provisional ballots. The biggest shock claim, though, dealt with improperly filled out ballots in the van belonging to supporters of presumptive president-elect Joe Biden, whom he saw while on a lunch break walk on October 28 or 29. He said, "I personally witnessed two people handing multiple unopened mail-in ballot envelopes to two other people, who then opened and filled out the ballots against the side of the Biden-Harris van." This is from the affidavit. "The same two people who marked the ballots then put the marked ballots in official pink and white envelopes. These people were not poll workers." The affidavit continues. "By my final walking lap, there were five or six additional people who formed a human wall, which moved as I walked by, apparently in an attempt to block my view of the four people who were opening envelopes, marking ballots, and placing those ballots in the pink and white return envelopes." The whistleblower recalled reporting the incident to a supervisor who then called the Clark County Elections Office to no avail. The whistleblower says someone there told her nothing could be done about the ballots or envelopes being handled outside at the Biden-Harris area. Ballot harvesting is legal in Nevada, but that's not what the whistleblower was talking about or describing. Ballot harvesting is when a person collects and returns already completed ballots. People not operating in a government capacity are not legally allowed to distribute mail-in ballots or mark ballots for others. Another Clark County, Nevada whistleblower who worked in a ballot counting center has signed an affidavit claiming that a supervisor instructed the person to process mail-in ballots despite concerns about whether the signature matched the name on the envelope. As you know, the vote is still going on in some places. But the celebrations are still going on. The celebration, it's amazing to me that the news media, I don't know if it should be amazing, considering who they're in the tank for, but the news media is announcing that Joe Biden is the president-elect, that Kamala Harris is the vice president-elect, vice president actually has a vice president elect is actually on Kamala Harris's Twitter profile now. Although Pennsylvania has been removed from the mix because of all of the questions, which brings the Biden-Harris team down below the required 270 votes. So it ain't over. But still, there was celebration. Coming from DailyWire.com from a couple of days ago, following legacy media announcements proclaiming Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden the winner of the 2020 election, thousands of people packed the streets of cities around the country to celebrate. Sunday, Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean, whose husband tragically lost both of his parents to COVID-19 while they were residents of assisted living facilities or nursing homes in New York, fired off a powerful Twitter thread denouncing authorities for prohibiting families from being together during holidays or while their relatives were dying, but permitting huge gatherings of people to celebrate Biden's results, or premature results. She began the thread by tweeting, "The pictures of all the crowds, the hundreds of thousands of people packed in the streets without distance while so many of us couldn't have funerals or gatherings. Many still can't see their loved ones because of restrictions. Kids can't go to school. Businesses closed." She warned, "We'll remember this." I hope they do. Immigration lawyer Matthew Cullen replied, "My wife just lost her battle with cancer, and we were limited to just 30 attendees at her service." Janice Dean continued, "Restrictions for some, restrictions for none. Depends on what you're supporting." She pointed out the draconian restrictions on private gatherings. "So many families have been told they can't gather for Thanksgiving. I haven't seen my own mom in over a year. The hypocrisy of what's allowed and what isn't is mind-blowing. Media and liberal leaders, you screamed at Trump gatherings, but are so quiet for what's happening now." She targeted New York Governor Andrew Cuomo as she quoted Fox News. "New York Governor Andrew Cuomo will be increasing the National Guard presence at airports in his state after refusing to do so during a summer of rioting and looting that is estimated to have cost New York City tens of millions." The Democratic governor said during a morning news conference, he has upped the number of local law enforcement and the National Guard personnel at airports statewide for the holiday weekend travel period. Did you also know that he is not happy about the vaccine being at our doorstep? And his reason is it's going to be released before Biden's in charge and the Trump administration will screw this up. The people who need it won't get it. Mr. Cuomo, there are families of over 6,000 people who died in elder care facilities who question your ability to do anything right because you mandated that infected people be placed in those care facilities over the objections of professionals who knew what they were doing, who said, "No, no, no. These people are highly susceptible. They're weak. They need to be protected from this. You can't put these infected people in these facilities." And he basically said, "Yeah, okay," and put them in there anyway. Janice Dean's in-laws were two of the people who died. And Cuomo has the nerve. After, what? Let's just look at this for a moment. He didn't know how many respirators he had and said he needed some. Turns out he had all he needed. He just didn't know what he had. But the Trump administration sent him respirators. He said they needed emergency personnel, medical personnel. They needed to set up hospitals. They needed to set up ways to handle the massive influx of people infected by COVID-19. And so Trump arranged for hospitals to be set up, emergency hospitals to be set up, and a hospital ship to be parked offshore, which Cuomo and his minions never used. There were other things as well. But he's afraid that the Trump administration will mess things up and that his people won't get what they need. Please be aware that in the beginning, the distribution will be small because there's only so much they can produce in a given amount of time. And the news media will have a field day with that. They will say he's not taking care of the people who really need it. It doesn't matter who gets the vaccine. Trust me, it will not matter who gets the vaccine. It won't be the right people. And that's what politicians and the press will say. The Democrats are a sack of snakes. And rather than putting them back in office, we need to tie the top of that sack and throw it in the deepest ocean on Earth, tied to a rather large concrete block. Hey, that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.